Okay, welcome to High Cheese with Darren Maloney. Today is Monday, May 16th, 2022. And I want to go right to the Buffalo shooting because I just want to set this record straight on what the mainstream media is trying to do. And they're wrong. They're doing everything to try to tie this shooting to Trump and MAGA. And this kid's not MAGA. This kid is some demented kid that needs help. 18-year-old kid. And the media wants to link him to MAGA and Trump. And this is how they are such simpletons in the media. The actions of an 18-year-old kid are suddenly thrown upon Trump and MAGA. They clearly don't understand MAGA. They don't know MAGA. And that's why ultimately they are going to fail. MAGA is made up of black, white, Latino, Asian, middle class, and working class people. So in spite of what the mainstream media says, MAGA is not racist. MAGA wants good for everyone. For black, for white, Asian, Hispanic. So I know where they're coming from. They're desperate. They're going to get pounced. I was watching Meet the Press. And if there was a guy that was happier on Sunday than Chuck Todd talking about this shooting, you have to show him to me. He was jumping out of his seat, happy about this, happy to talk about it, happy to try to pin this on MAGA. And they're ultimately going to lose because their narrative has no footing. Now let's take a look at this. They're trying to blame this on Tucker Carlson and Elise Stefanik up in New York, congresswoman from New York, about this replacement theory. First of all, it's a European issue. It's not an American issue, replacement theory. And what Carlson talks about, well, yeah, Americans are concerned about voting and politics, particularly when New York City recently came out and said they were going to allow non-citizens to vote. Now, that's just in local elections, not national elections, but they are going to allow non-citizens to vote. And MAGA is concerned about voting and politics. And these are Hispanic, these are African-American, whites, Asians. They are concerned about the southern border and what's going on. American, Hispanic, working class with jobs are concerned about illegal aliens coming in and taking their job. They are concerned about being replaced by illegals. That's what replacement theory is. And that's what MAGA is all about. America first. We're doing what's best for America and Americans. And that's black, white, Asian, Hispanic. Because you have to understand in Europe with replacement theory, France and Spain, they've been essentially homogeneous societies for a long time. And they like their culture. Whereas in the United States, we've got a history of a melting pot, assimilation. So we have many, many different cultures in this country. So there's not one defined culture. What the defined culture of America is many cultures that come to this country to better themselves and form a melting pot. So I don't want to hear this replacement theory BS from the media because it's just not true. Now, a couple of things I want to know about this kid is apparently he made threats last year against his high school. And he was taken away by the state police and put in a hospital for mental evaluation. So my question to the authorities, the state authorities, Letitia James. Now, you remember Letitia James. She's the state attorney general that's spending all of her time trying to get Trump indicted over some investigation about the valuation of his properties that no state attorney general ever has investigated. And remember her? She's the one that came out and campaigned said, I'm going to get Trump. That's the Letitia James. She's too focused on Trump instead of being focused on 18-year-old killers. What happened? Why was this not reported to the database? And why was this kid allowed to buy a gun that was in for mental evaluation? Somebody dropped the ball somewhere. So this kid made threatening remarks against his high school, was put in a hospital for mental evaluation. And why does this not show up in his background check for his gun? And how did he not stay on law enforcement radar screen? Now, the other thing I find really disturbing is I'm getting reports that this kid, and this is from people who saw the shooting. I don't want to see the shooting. I have no interest in seeing the shooting. But what I want to know is, who trained this kid? Because apparently this kid was well-trained. He shot like he had a lot of practice. He changed his magazine like he had a lot of practice. So where was all this training taking place? And where were his parents? How do you not know that your kid was in for mental evaluation and is getting some sort of quasi-military training? Where were you, parents? Now, there's got to be something more to this that we don't know yet. But one thing I want to do is I do want to see the manifesto. They should release his manifesto because I think it's entirely up to us to make the determination of what this kid is and what this kid is not. I'm not leaving it up to mainstream media for them to tell me what this kid is. Sounds like he was a racist. Sounds like he didn't like black people. But let me make that determination about whether he was part of some form of replacement theory person, organization. Now, from what I hear, he said he wasn't part of any organization. And the thing I find really unique is that the narrative that you hear now is only about white shooters. And I hate to talk about race all the time because, you know, you have to understand there are races, there are black races, there are white races, I'm sure there are Asian races. So this is not a white issue as defined by the mainstream media. But that's what the mainstream media wants to talk about. They don't really talk about too much of the black subway shooter and his racist remarks. They didn't talk too much about the Wisconsin parade killer that made anti-white remarks. That doesn't fall into their narratives. And I think most people know that there are racists in every race. Al Sharpton being one of them. Al Sharpton has a history of racist remarks against white people. He's called white people crackers. He's made derogatory statements against Jewish people. But he's on MSNBC. I think he had a show for a while. And now I think he was on one of the talking head shows this weekend talking about how this Donald Trump is the cause of this. And he pushes this lie. He continues to push the lie that in Virginia, Trump had said that there were good people in the neo-Nazi party, or there were good people that rioted. And we know that's not true. Now, let me say, you know, let me clear this up for people. There were people that were protesting, taking down the statues. And there were also Nazi groups there. Now, I'm against taking down statues. I'm not a Nazi. I'm not a racist. But Sharpton keeps on pushing this fake news about Trump saying there were good people that were rioting in Virginia. But we'll, you know, we shall see. Clearly, this kid is not MAGA. The media doesn't understand MAGA, or they don't want to understand MAGA, or they are trying to frame MAGA as something that it's not. And MAGA is not racist. MAGA is for the middle class and working class, blacks, whites, Asians. So I don't know where they're coming from. I just hope, but you know, look, I feel terrible for the people up there getting shot. But don't listen to the media when they just say this is a white thing. This is absolutely absurd. And the sooner this country comes to the fact that there are racists, there are black racists, there are white racists. Think about it. Nobody wants to talk. You know, I was watching a show on Asian racism and all these attacks in New York on Asians. Well, predominantly, they were done by blacks. That doesn't count. On the West Coast, there were a group of black people that were targeting Asian Americans and stealing from them. So, look, you got to get real. That's all I want. And that's the one thing about my podcast. Keep it real. There are proportionally just as many black races as white races. And to point a finger at one race as being racist, and which brings out a point. You want to talk to anybody about this. The first thing you should ask them, do you think it's possible for black people or a minority group to be racist? And listen to what their answer is. A lot of these people say, no, it's impossible for blacks to be racist, for example, or for Asians to be racist because they're not in the majority. That's just absurd. That's an absurd statement. Look, I always go back. I grew up in Teaneck, New Jersey, a multicultural community. And I can tell you firsthand, there are black people that didn't like people from other races. There were Asians that didn't like people from other races. So I don't want to hear this, that racism is some blight on white people. And I can't make it any clearer than that. But anyway, I do want an investigation on what went on here. How this kid was allowed to get a gun after being evaluated mentally. And how did he get trained? So we shall see. Now, you know who's likely happy with what went on this weekend? The Azov Battalion in Ukraine. The Nazi Battalion in Ukraine. And the press keeps on burying this, that there are Nazis in Ukraine. They've got Nazis and extremists in their parliament, and they've got a Nazi battalion. I think it's the Nazi battalion, the Azov battalion, that's holed up in that steel plant in Mariupol. And we've just handed $40 billion over to Ukraine without a peep about the Nazis. And yet the press here is going to beat up on the Republican Party about being associated with Nazis and white supremacists. Think about it. The press wants to beat up on the Republicans because they think the Republicans are white supremacists. Yet they're going to hand $40 billion to a country that has white supremacists in their government and fighting for them. How ironic is it? Anyway, the status of this is that I think Rand Paul still has this thing held up in the Senate. He wants some more information. This weekend, Mitch McConnell came out. And I think it was Saturday, made a surprise visit to Zelensky. And look, I just want to put things in perspective here. Ukraine's already come out and said this, from a military side, is going to cost $7 billion a month. That's probably about the same amount that the Iraqi war cost us. And look where that got us financially. Now, are we going to fund this war ad nauseum? So at what point do we say no? But the American people need answers on this. What is the Biden administration doing militarily? What is their goals? What are they going to do in Ukraine? And not only that, is what are they going to do in Somalia? Now, the White House just announced today that they're sending 100 troops into Somalia. This is after Trump took out 700 troops right before he left. So is this one of those cases where the Biden administration is just doing the opposite of what Trump did? You see where that got us. Take a look at the southern border. Take a look at gas prices. What are they going for, the trifecta now? What kind of disaster is planned in Somalia for us by the Biden administration? But we need answers. We need the Biden administration to come clean. This has to be debated in Congress on what our goals are militarily, because we're spending too much money and now we're expanding into Africa. And God forbid, did they do a focus group on this and think that more conflict would be good for the Democratic Party coming up into the November elections? because they are capable of doing everything. And the press is capable of covering up everything that did in order to get them reelected in November. Remember about 3 or 4 episodes ago, I had mentioned that the Democrats, the DNC, they were gearing up for their messaging for the November election, and they were sitting down and they had all these focus groups, and they were kind of come out for a narrative that the Democrats can use for the midterm elections. And they just came out with their first one, Ultra MAGA. I guess it was last week's Biden's press conference. He threw in the term Ultra MAGA. Just came in out of the blue. It was kind of awkward how he did it, and I knew something was up because it just came out from an incoherent man. So I knew there was this whole Ultra MAGA phrase had some design behind it. Now, it turned out that it's backfired on the Democrats because MAGA likes it and people like it. Ultra MAGA. What's next? Mega MAGA? That sounds good too. But anyway, who is the architect of Ultra MAGA? And that person is Anita Dunn. Anita Dunn's been a Washington insider. And Anita Dunn is the perfect example of the swamp. She's not very talented, but well-connected. And it probably paid a lot of money for being those two things. She's everything that you want. Not too bright. Pay her enough money, she'll do anything. And throw her some work to keep her busy. And this was probably one of those cases where they threw her some busy work. And I'm just going to read here from the Washington Examiner. It says, Biden's Ultra MAGA attack is a product of a 6-month study by Anita Dunn. Now, I think the White House just hired Anita Dunn about a month ago to take over some type of political operations. And let me just read a little bit of this. It says here, for 6 months, Democrat messaging guru Anita Dunn and the Center for American Progress Action Fund oversaw an effort to discern Republicans' weak spot, according to the Washington Post. Dunn, a longtime Biden advisor, returned in May to the White House in a senior advisor role, the third time since the start of the president's term. MAGA, the group's survey and focus group found, stood out in battleground areas for its negative ties. Now, this is why they're going to lose. They think MAGA, for some reason, is negative with the voters. But I'll tell you, if I'm Biden, I want my money back from Dunn. Because this thing has completely backfired. So with that said, I just want to point out another swamp figure. And I'm going to go to a clip from 2008. It's by Steve Schmidt. Now, I'm sure you heard his name. Steve Schmidt now was part of the Lincoln Project. It was the group of Republican rhino grifters that took all this money from people and attacked Trump. And in addition, I think one of the owners was a pedophile. So anyway, what I want to do is I want to switch to a clip. And it's from 2008 because Steve Schmidt was the chief operating officer for the McCain campaign for president. And I don't know if you remember, you saw his face a lot on all the networks, all the cable news outlets. And he was out there, he was defending McCain. McCain's the best thing. You gotta vote for him instead of Obama. So let me play this clip and then we'll come back and discuss.
Tonight with the debate, we felt that Senator McCain showed mastery of these issues. Senator Obama did not. And so we're very happy. We feel very good that the American people got to see the two candidates side by side. As you all know, but Senator McCain, you also heard tonight, person on that stage who came across as a credible president of the United States.
Now, what a phony this guy is. He just came out a few days ago and said he did not even vote for McCain. And let me read a little bit of an article here. This is from Yahoo News. It says here, John McCain's former campaign strategist said he did not vote for him in the 2008 presidential election. Steve Schmidt said he was completely unfit to be president. Well, it doesn't sound like the clip I just played. Schmidt recently revealed that he lied on McCain's behalf about his relationship with a lobbyist. Apparently, McCain had an affair with a lobbyist, and it was covered up, and Schmidt had lied on McCain's behalf. The only conceivable conclusion that you could get to after watching his conduct on this campaign was that he's completely unfit to be president, Schmidt told Politico's Playbook. Truth is, I didn't vote for him either, Schmidt said, revealing that he instead left his ballot blank. So you have to understand, this is what these people are all about. Anytime you see any of these talking heads out there, they all have an agenda. They're all getting paid what to say. They believe nothing about what they tell you on TV. Now look, there's clearly a number of exceptions. But I'm talking about all the cable news people, all the networks, all these talking heads that you find on the networks, cable news, they're all paid to say whatever. And they don't believe it. And again, this is what makes Trump really good. He's not perfect, but at least you know what he believes. And this guy Schmidt is just part of the swamp. And this is what we have to get rid of. Murphy the Killer. That's what the new name of our governor here in New Jersey is. The good old governor here, Phil Murphy, on Wednesday announced that he would support legislation that would widen New Jersey's pool of potential abortion providers to include advanced practice nurses, midwives, and physician assistants. What's next? Go down to your local ShopRite and get an abortion with a turkey? This is shameful. And the bishops of New Jersey are on to Murphy. Let me just read a little article here. It says, New Jersey bishops call Murphy's abortion proposal a direct attack on dignity and the sanctity of life. The state's Catholic bishops are sharply criticizing new proposals by the Murphy administration that would expand abortion care in New Jersey, promising to fight every effort. Murphy calls himself a Catholic. I think he should take that moniker away from himself and call himself a killer Catholic, because he's not deserving of it at this point. Calling it a direct attack on the dignity and sanctity of life, the leaders of the New Jersey Catholic Diocese in a statement expressed their disappointment and outrage over Governor Phil Murphy's announcement. The bishops labeling abortion an act that is, by its very nature, termination of a human life, characterized the proposal further evidence that we have failed as a society when a mother feels her only option is to end the life of her child. And again, Governor, give it up. You should no longer call yourself a Catholic. He's joining a nice fraternity for late-term abortions. The governor of Colorado, Jared Polis, he's for late-term abortions. But I think Murphy's outdone him, because I don't think Colorado allows midwives to perform abortions. And then we have New York's new mayor. He wants late-term abortions as a right for every woman. So these are all killers. But Murphy, you're a special killer, because you're expanding the type of people that can perform abortions. Well, a recession is looming. Just asked Lloyd Blankfein, a chairman at Goldman Sachs. Now, Goldman Sachs is the worst of the worst of the Wall Streeters. And just a reminder, Phil Murphy is a Goldman Sachs guy. And what they do know, though, is they do have their fingers on the pulse of the economy. And let's just go to a clip where Blankfein reveals this to us, and then we'll come back and discuss.
Yeah. It's definitely a risk. If I were running a big company, I would be very prepared for it. If I was a consumer, I'd be prepared for it, but it's not baked in the cake.
So, be prepared for it, but it's not baked in the cake. So he's hedging himself a little bit here. But let me tell you something. These guys are not going to talk about a recession unless there's a good possibility that it happens. Now, there was a couple of episodes ago, I was talking about the negative GDP that we had, and we had negative 1.4% GDP when we were actually anticipating a 1% increase in GDP for the first quarter. So now we're in the second quarter, and things are not looking very good. And I think I spoke about the trade deficit we've had. I think we hit a record for April. Now, April is the first month in the second quarter of 2022. We set a trade deficit record. I think it was about $110 billion for the month. Now, along with our trade deficit that affects our GDP, we also have consumer spending. And consumer spending for the first quarter was the only thing that kept our GDP from going even further down. But here I'm looking at Adobe Analytics. And what they've done is they analyze online sales. Now, online sales is a smaller portion of overall sales, but it's a good indicator. And what they found is that for April, online sales grew at an overall rate of 4.5% at $77.8 billion. But April was less than the $83.08 billion from March. So in March, we had $83.08 billion in online sales for March, and that was baked into the first quarter. But the second quarter, we've got a big drop. We've got a drop from $83.08 to $77.8 billion. So that doesn't bode well for second quarter GDP as well as our trade deficit. So again, we've got May and June to affect second quarter GDP, but right now it doesn't look good. So we shall see. Now the markets continue to be under pressure. And let's just take a quick look. The Dow finished up 0.08%. while the S&P finished down 0.39%, and NASDAQ was down 1.2%. Let's just take a look at year-to-date on the NASDAQ. Year-to-date, the NASDAQ is down 25.45%, while the S&P is down for the year 15.91%, and the Dow is down for the year at 11.32%. Okay, so we have a hotly contested Republican primary in Pennsylvania tomorrow, particularly for the U.S. Senate. And the top three candidates are Dr. Oz, Kathy Barnett, David McCormick, and dark horse Carla Sands. So really, at this point, it's a toss-up among the top three, and with the potential of Carla Sands surprising everybody. So we shall see with that. The interesting thing I find is that John Fetterman, the Democratic candidate for Senate, had a stroke on Friday. And he's likely going to win, but will make things very, very interesting during the general election. And I think what the Democrats are going to use, I think they're going to use it to their advantage. Because if Fetterman continues to have health problems and he does not poll well, they'll remove him and try to replace him with someone else. I know they did this in New Jersey in 2002 with Robert Torricelli. Torricelli was such a liability and he was under so much ethics scrutiny that he dropped out of the race and he was replaced. Now, they replaced him on the ballot in New Jersey. And I'm not sure what the rules are in Pennsylvania. I'm sure it can be done in Pennsylvania. But this is going to give the Democrats an opportunity to have two bites at the apple. What they'll do is they'll see how well Fetterman runs. And if he's not running well in the polls, they'll push him out. So we shall see with that. And Doug Mastriani got the endorsement from Trump for governor. And it looks like he's going to be the winner. The last poll had him up double digits. So good luck to everyone in Pennsylvania. It's a hard decision, but make the right decision like you always will. And with that said, you have a good week, and I will see you on Saturday.